Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Myers from 31 yards out. Dixon places it down. And the Seattle Seahawks go to 2-0. Under their rookie head coach, Mike McDonald, they defeat Gerard Mayo and the New England Patriots in overtime by the score of 23-20.
That's enough out of you. I heard it just a few minutes ago. You don't need to rub it in again. I'm in a glass case of emotion. You know, Andy Hart, there's a bunch of things in this life that I hate. I hate traffic. I hate mean people. I hate when people wait in line for 20 minutes at a concession
stand. So why are you working with Andy?
And then I
shut it, Joe.
Pipe, it's way too early for you. I told you, Braverman, I'm on edge right now.
Push him.
20 minutes in line for concessions, and then people still say, now what do I want? And you know what else I hate? Illinois Nazis. And when my favorite football team loses a winnable game. I know this team has a long way to go. I know this team needs everything to go their way. I know they need every last bounce. I know they are trying their hardest. I know there is a deficit of talent, and I know I am supposed to believe in the process. But on a glorious, beautiful, picturesque, damn near perfect day at the tail end of summer at Foxborough, home opener, fans were lubed, the tips were sizzling, the bev's flowing, moods elevated, vibes immaculate. The New England Patriots just fall apart in the second half of this football game. They can't block. They can't throw. They can't run. They can't stop the other team from throwing. But otherwise, it was perfect. A game that could have been a W ends up a 23-20 loss to the Seattle Seahawks. Possibly a playoff team. We'll look back on that one in a couple of weeks or maybe a few months. Maybe Andy Hart will say, oh, man, good thing the Patriots lost that game because now they're going to get a much better draft pick. Or maybe this competitive, tough-ass team that keeps telling us that they want to take him to the hill, it feels like my soul was taken to the hill, maybe they'll say, ah, if we had just found a way to convert in that game. I feel bad for Jacoby Brissett. I feel terribly for everyone that had their hopes pinned to the Pats going 2-0 and then going down to MetLife Stadium on Thursday night with a chance to fight it out, possibly even for the lead in the AFC East. But alas, here we are. I agree with you and your quote tweet of my promotional tweet for the postgame show. They showed good fight. Some areas played really well. Some really did not. Another entertaining game to open the year. No argument from this guy. That is the bar for this Patriots team until otherwise noted. And we open the Six Rings postgame show today here following the announcement of Joe Castiglione's retirement, which apparently I heard Andy was accompanied by a Red Sox game in the Bronx against the Yankees or something like that. I wasn't paying attention. We opened today's Six Rings postgame show and the lines, which are probably like Route 1 right now outside the stadium, jammed with a lot of frustrated Foxborough faithful, Andy. 617-779-7937. We open with this question. I'm just going to put it out there. It may be the dumbest question ever. That's never stopped me. And you've never been hesitant to remind me.
I won't now.
At this point, Andy, seeing what you saw from this truly offensive line, it's not an offensive line, it is an offensive line, from old man Brissett, who just keeps getting hammered into the turf over and over again, some very rookie coaching and some questionable play calling. Oh, and wide receivers, by the way, who caught three passes.
Do they have wide receivers?
I think our pal Mike Giardi just tweeted a few moments ago. They had, here it is right here. This is a stat and a half for everybody. Pats threw for 32 yards in the second half and overtime. Combined, catches total from the wide receivers for, you guessed it, audience, 19 yards.
And a touchdown. Don't forget the touchdown, though.
Yeah, it was a nice throw. Maybe try that again over and over again. Mm-hmm. But then again, also you need time to actually be able to take a 3-5-7 step drop, look at the field, process, analyze, and make the throw, as opposed to, I don't know, Laden Robinson, Mike Onwenu. Oh, boy, I know who's making Andy's thumbs down list today.
Yeah. All of them?
Yeah. The answer, everyone but Keon White and Jalen Polk. I ask this. I'll ask. How crazy would it be to start Drake May week 3?
On a short week going against a Jets defense, I think, barring an injury, I think that's a fireable offense for Jerod Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, and the people that supposedly have a plan.
I know. It's not ideal. No, it's not
no,
ideal,
it's stupid.
Really.
It's stupid. It's exceptionally stupid. If you didn't want to break him, that's a good way to break him. If there was concerns about development and being ready, a short week with no practices, just walkthroughs, to go against a pretty darn talented and potentially aggressive Jets defense on the road at MetLife Stadium, I'm not sure you could find a worse time to start him. That might be the worst possible time to start him. Oh, and by the way, I don't even know the status of half the offensive linemen, because you got Chooks jumping ship, which I don't know if anybody misses him, doesn't miss him, but he's part of the plan. He was part of Elliott Wolf's plan.
He's still a human being that tries to block other people. So
yeah,
at this
big
point now, the Pats are desperate for any and all options on the offensive line, especially tackle.
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. To me, that would be a borderline fireable offense if they chose to start Drake May this week. That would be taking the plan, laying it out, putting lighter fluid, then gasoline, then dynamite on it, and lighting it and exploding it and blow it. That would be stupidity manifestation.
Okay, so how about, all right, so Jacoby Brissett.
So
right
is that
now,
a no, Andy?
So Andy, so how do you really feel about it? All right, now let's pretend everyone's listening. Okay, so I wouldn't want to do it either, because I think at this point now, you basically have just sold out the month of September, maybe not the entire season. But you can't tell me that, hell, dude, would Bailey, poor Jacoby Brissett, I mean, he's got no time. I get it. It's a jailbreak every other drop back. But he goes 15 for 27 on a day Geno Smith looked like freaking Patrick Mahomes, 33 of 44 for 330 yards and a touchdown, 103.1 rating. Brissett, 15 of 27 for $149, one touchdown, 3 sacks. Felt like he had about 13 sacks on the day. I don't know, man. It just, this offense, like, is definitely going to be.
Oh, I'm not saying you don't need a boost at quarterback. I'm saying
be stuck in the mud for a while to come.
You've laid a foundation where you can't play him now. If you wanted him to effing inject life into the passing game, week one was the one, not week three, going on a short week to New York. You have put a plan into effect, and you need to stick with it. Absolutely. And, you know, there's some question as to who won, lost this game, and if you ranked the three areas of the team. I mean, Keon White started off his press conference saying the offense did enough to win. We got to figure things out on our side of the ball. Haven't heard that in New England in a long time. We spent all of last year having guys talk about, well, I guess now we got to not allow 0 points if we want to win football games around here.
Defensive accountability from the kid who had 2 sacks, has 4.5, and is on pace for 40 this season?
Yeah. So, I mean, there was plenty of reason to go around as to, A, why you were in the game. I think there were contributions in some ways from all three areas, but also failures in all three areas. And I'll add a fourth area, because we don't bring this up enough. We always talk about offense, defense, special teams. Coaching wasn't good. The coaching was a problem today. Situational football, helped or hurt by coaching, was an issue today. And with all of that thrown in there, you could have, and I saw Greg Bedard tweeted out after the Antonio Gibson long run, should have won this football game. It was like an 87% chance to win the game or something at that point. And then things kind of fell apart from there. And unfortunately, you're not nearly good enough to overcome significant mistakes that they made today. You're not good enough to overcome some questionable calls, some poor calls maybe by the officials. I know we're going to get into the pass interference on Jonathan Jones. Maybe
multiple pass
interference.
Interferences, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought the refs sucked. The only thing that blew more than the refs was the broadcast. It was one of the worst broadcasts I've ever watched.
I don't know. If you had to metal stand, like a reverse metal stand of...
Who
I
blows
guess
more?
Just, yeah. Can we make that? Hey, Braverman, can you see if sales can get the who blew most segment on Six Rings?
I am on it.
You're on it? All right, get some
Brought
of the tape.
Brought to you by tonight. Pornhub.
I was actually going to say maybe, I don't know, like Dyson fans or something. All right, now we've even got the music to accompany it. If we have a segment like this, and hello everyone out there in the parking lots right now getting in, maybe having a secondary auxiliary tailgate. The stadium was packed today. You should. Stick around. Let the traffic
in. Beautiful.
Let the traffic filter out. Enjoy the day. Soak up as much vitamin D, all the sunshine you can. Talk about the game. Parse it over with your friends. And then once the lines free up, keep trying. Keep calling us. 617-779-7937. We are here with you on the Six Rings postgame show until 7:25 p.m., at which time we will throw it to a commercial break, which then leads to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football. That was very procedural and probably more information than you needed to know. Point being, we're here till 7:30. Pipe down, everybody. So, yeah, a reverse medal stand of how the Patriots lost this game. It may be the offensive line gets the gold medal. The coaching gets the silver, and it wasn't like by a nose or like a photo finish, but it was close. The coaching got real bad in the second half. And then the refs would probably take a distant but, you know, worthy bronze. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I hate getting into the refs and the debates. There
were
plenty
of calls.
You
always say they suck, don't you?
Yes, I think they're terrible. I watched a high school game on Friday night, was horrifically officiated. And guess what? No one cared because one team took care of its business and the other didn't. Terp, if you're listening, I'm talking about the Dartmouth Indians over the Braintree Wamps.
Why don't you let me say how great it is? Let the host just feed you the compliments as opposed to having it. All right? You'll get time.
Andy, you're training as an official as well.
No, his boy played
and
a
that's
great
the
game
worst
Friday
thing they
night
ever
beat my
did.
Hometown into the ground as well. Like, it was, and I'm very happy. If any one team was going to embarrass my hometown, I'm thrilled for your son. I'm thrilled for you guys.
Thank you. But my point was, it becomes an issue in a close game, or an issue when you let it become an issue because you let the game get too close. You make mistakes. So now your mistake is almost compounded by the ref's mistakes instead of making everybody forget about it. And this was a game you probably could have said it in both directions. But yes, in general, I think the officiating stinks. And I think in general, you have to not only play well enough to beat the opponent, play well enough to try to distance yourself from the mistakes of the officials.
That's it right there. Really play well enough so that the officials can't ruin the game for you. Can't come in.
Right.
Distance yourself. Don't give them the space, leeway, or ground to step in and, I don't know, make a call like in the first quarter for the second. Was it first quarter or maybe early second quarter?
The Marco Wilson one?
Dude, that ball to Tyler Lockett, which was ruled defensive pass interference.
Which landed, it was. He tackled him.
But the ball landed by the cheerleaders, therefore,
but a little
it's
bit.
Not a
do you believe
pass.
That was a penalty? Not by the rule. I don't want to hear the detail. Like, should that be allowed on an NFL field?
Well, if it's not a catchable pass, then it doesn't matter.
See, I think
that's the letter of the law.
Whether it's illegal contact or pass interference, like that's the way I look
illegal
at those things.
Illegal contact, fine. Then I could live with the letter of the law. But if you're going to call pass interference and it has to be a catchable ball, and not even Manute Bol or Sean Bradley or Yao Ming could have caught the ball, Tyler Lockett sure as hell isn't going to catch that pass, then you need to call it the right way.
But, okay, if you want everything called the right way, go look back, I think early third quarter, DK Metcalf drops a ball over the middle, horrific drop. Mm-hmm. Kyle Duggar puts the crown of his helmet right on his chin after the drop. To me, borderline ejectable offense. That didn't even draw a flag, drew nothing.
Teetered on targeting, right? Yeah.
In college football, you're absolutely targeting. You're out of this half and you're suspended for the next game. They didn't throw a flag. I also thought there was a questionable Devin Witherspoon PI where he did the same thing Marco Wilson did. He tackled somebody for no reason. Maybe DeMario Douglas. Just shoved him to the ground. But I actually thought Brissett had gotten out of the pocket. And once Brissett's out of the pocket, those rules go away.
Correct.
But no, the officials stink. They absolutely stink. So you want to win football games? Be better than the opponent. Be better than the official. And you know what the issue with the Patriots is right now? Gerard Mayo says it. I know we'll listen to him later, but I saw he said this is not a fancy football team. No. This is not a 2024 football team. They can't throw the ball, and today at least, they couldn't stop the pass. And if you're going to win with any consistency in the NFL, you have to be able to throw the football and stop other teams from passing the football. You gave up two receivers with double-digit catches, 100-plus yards, and it wasn't just like, oh, we had that one blown coverage where we let DK just run. No. It was consistent all day long.
What was up with giving, you know, listen, I joked with you because I ran into Christian Gonzalez's mom at the stadium today, and I only found out it was her because I said, oh, can I take a picture of your T-shirt? It said, Christian Gonzalez is good. And then someone else came up and said, hey, can I? She's like, well, I'm wearing this because I'm his mom. And then, like, the whole family was there, said hello. A charming little engagement. He is good, but I do not understand why he was playing 5 to 7 yards off Metcalf the entire second half. Like, Metcalf, yes, you got beat early. Whoever was supposed to be wherever between he and Duggar, there was obviously significant confusion that led to that ghastly blown coverage with one of the tallest, fastest, strongest men to ever play the NFL game, just striding by you guys by 10, 12 yards. That was flat out embarrassing. Now, some of those rookie growing pains for these coaches and these coordinators are going to happen. I get it. That's okay. You can forgive them, but a time. But later on, as the game progressed, they were picking apart your zone. You got to man up. And that's the way they were manning up, by giving him 5-7 yards. Jackson Smith and Jigba was open. Andy, you could have underhanded him the ball more often than not. And he's got terrific hands and great body control as well. I'm here at the studio, and I'm watching with Joe Braverman. And as the Seahawks are setting up their overtime, I said a lot of things. Many of them are not repeatable, especially considering that it's 4-5 o'clock in the afternoon and it's a family-friendly radio show, supposedly. I was just yelling, don't blitz on that third down where Charbonnet cut across the formation. Like, make them make a play. Be tough. Get in their face. If you're going to get called for something by these terrible refs, get called for something. But don't sell out on a jailbreak blitz when you haven't been able to get home against Smith, who's been picking you apart. And then Charbonnet, who's much better in formation like that than he is running between the tackles, was the perfect little pass, perfect run by him. Just frustrating. A lot of bad calls, a lot of miscues. And like you said, Andy, a lot of opportunities missed and blown by a team that can... The margin of error is so narrow. It is so small. And they obviously care. And they really seem like a big old football family. Like, you know, it's just a bummer. I wish those fans were able to go home with a dub today. 2-0 would have been absolutely spectacular heading into Thursday night. It has been an entertaining month of football thus far. They have delivered on... Wasn't our request... Wasn't the hope that we had that the Patriots would at least be entertaining, that they would be in these games and make us proud? Yes. That's
my barometer, bar, whatever you want to call it. And through more than 120 minutes of football, we got an extra, 10 minutes of football today. I've wanted to watch everything. There were times in recent years where I was watching because, well, I do a post-game show and then I do a podcast with Fitzy. I enjoyed watching today. I enjoyed watching last week. I look forward to watching on Thursday night. It may not go well, but I think this team is going to show up. It's going to hit people. It's going to run the football. It's going to break tackles. It's going to make tackles. Where it goes from there in terms of Mayo and the passing game and Brissett. Hell, Brissett made more plays again with his legs today, running and then pump faking and then hitting Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry had a great day. There were things to pull from this, either individually or maybe threads of what you see this team being this year as it creates its identity, that were positive. Then there were the other things. But guess what? It could be worse. You know who has it worse?
The Dallas Cowboys.
The Carolina Panthers.
The Carolina
Andy Panthers. Hart, because he's 2 weeks into a knockout pool and he took the frickin' Bengals in week one and the frickin' Ravens in week two and the buyback. And
Raiders.
What are we doing?
Can you believe we'll get to all the wild NFL scores in, you know, there's week one, there's overreaction Monday, and then there's you just didn't see that ish coming week two that is bananas. I mean, I did not have on my week two 2024 NFL bingo card the Cowboys getting demolished in their home opener. I didn't have the Saints scoring on basically every drive to start the freaking season. I didn't have the Ravens going 0-2. I didn't have the Jets in a nail biter. I didn't have the Vikings beating the 49ers.
Yeah, damn. Speaking of which, Kevin O'Connell seems like a pretty good offensive coach.
Yeah.
He took Sam Darnold's, making him comfortable.
How about that? How about that? Look, everyone should take heart. They have a very likable football team. They have a team that tries hard. They have a team that's tough. They have a team with heart. I love it. I love this team.
They just don't have a team with wide receivers and a left tackle.
They just need an offensive line. They could use a quality control assistant on offense.
Can we find DeMario Douglas? Did you look in a closet?
Did he play today?
I saw glimpses of a number three in that navy blue, but not much.
I'm going to stop watching.
Yeah, please. Andy, did we not watch a lot of practices together?
All the time.
Yep. And see,
all the time. Heart
of
the offense.
Faster.
Heart of the offense. What, he was the go-to guy, and now he's gone.
The gone-to guy. He has not been a part of the offense.
Gone, baby, gone. Where did he disappear to?
So our team's taking him out. Is he hurt? Also, you mentioned Hunter Henry. Guy was uncoverable in the first half. Did Seattle either figure out a way to cover him?
Yeah,
did he get gassed?
Love, I think. No, I think they put Love on him. I think it was some zone and some linebackers early, and then he gets safety attention, and it is what it is. But if he's getting safety attention, that means less safety attention to wide receivers. Why is DeMario Douglas, who we've seen, quote, can get open in a phone booth, that's his quarterbacks that say that, not me, that's his teammates that say that, you tell me he cannot run any of those routes where they're quick hitters? Because the offensive line's an issue. We don't want Jacoby holding on to the football. So how about we, I don't know, use DeMario Douglas to run some of those old Edelman, Welker, Amendola, Brown, whoever the hell else you want to include in that list, routes where he gets open in under a second and a half. You throw him a little slant, he picks up 4 yards, and boom, we feel like we did something good. I find inexplicable. And I know Jacoby Brissett, when he talked post-game, says he needs to do a better job getting the wide receivers involved. And there's probably some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think offensively, there were plays I was trying to watch, like, okay, right slot is DeMario Douglas. The first read is on the left side. Well, why is the first read on the left side when the guy who's most likely to get open quickly is on the right side? So some of this is on Alex Van Pelt. Some of it's on Jacoby Brissett. And maybe some of it is on DeMario Douglas. I'm not removing him from responsibility. He is the player. But, you know, he's a guy that I literally thought, wrong again, Hart, could catch like 100 balls. I thought he could be a mainstay of the passing game, because I don't have much consistent faith in Thornton, Booty, Baker, Osborne even. I don't really have faith in any of the other receivers. I thought I could have faith that DeMario Douglas would get open and be targeted by his quarterbacks, because Brissett seemed to love him on the practice field.
Yep.
Somehow they fell out of love between the practice field and the game field. Something happened in that tunnel that connects the practice field to the game field, and now they're no longer in love.
Is there any chance, can we call San Francisco and see if we could, can we try to trade for Ayuk again? Can we call Cincinnati and see if T. Higgins is available? It's 10-10 right now against the Chiefs, maybe?
No. Jamar Chase is the one I want now. He's pissed.
You know what? 4 for 160 right now.
And the table. Would you give the number one pick? This is a quick offshoot, and I know we're going to have a break coming up, but
it is.
Right now, Jamar Chase, your number one pick, and you have to pay him 4 for 160 with 120 guaranteed. Would you do that?
Yes, I would. I think I would for a top three NFL wide receiver. You would beg, you would hope, you would pray to hit on a talent like that, no matter what position they play next offseason, in any capacity, in the draft.
I wouldn't have done it for Ayuk.
No.
I wouldn't have done it for Ayuk. I think I would do it for Jamar Chase, because I think he's that kind of a talent.
Yeah, and then he would come here and he'd have 3 targets because Jacoby Brissett gets snapped in half.
No, then I go to Drake May. Once I give you the tackle, you'll have to figure that out. But if I give you Jamar Chase, I want Jamar Chase playing with Drake May later. But this is stupid. It's not going to happen. I was throwing it out.
We're in fantasy land because we want to ignore the reality of the Patriots losing a winnable game. We love them so. Heart of a champion, but unfortunately the talent of a team that made it to overtime but was not able to deliver a win in front of their fans today in week 2. A very entertaining season thus far. Lots of things to revisit. Plenty of question marks. Things we can debate back and forth for the next couple of hours. We will give you the audio of both Jerod Mayo and Jacoby Brissett following the game as well. But when we come back, we promise those phone calls, we are going to get to you, the Pats people, the Foxborough faithful who are out there in those beautiful, sunny, damn near midsummer-like conditions at Gillette today. There were some wonderful moments in the game. There were some true North Stars to point to. And there were also some lows along the way that hopefully, Andy, as they point out in the Batman movies, as I tell my kids on our little football team, why do we fall down? So we can learn to pick ourselves up again. Let's hope the Patriots find a way to learn from this, bounce back, and get better every week. Coaches to players and beyond. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. Pat, AJ, Sean, John, Sorja, and everyone else who keeps trying to call in. It is your show next when we come back. But first, let's catch you up on all the scores in a wild week 2 in the National Football League and beyond with the one and only Joe Braverman.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second down and 5. Smith sets. Fires downfield. Wide open. Metcalf. Touchdown. 56 yards. From Geno Smith to DK Metcalf.
And that was obviously the play of the game for the Seattle Seahawks, probably the play of the game overall. My least favorite play of the day, if not on the young 2024 Patriots season. DK Metcalf split wide left, ultimately splits Kyle Duggar and Christian Gonzalez, each of whom thought the other was going to be in deep coverage. One would stay in the flat, the other would tail a receiver if he ran a go route. DK Metcalf went, and no one actually followed him. And so what resulted was a 56-yard touchdown pass that silenced a rowdy Gillette crowd that was all fired up on a gorgeous day, especially after the Patriots went up 7-0 on a very methodical, Patriot-like, tough-as-nails drive that ended in, my gosh, something we never see around here anymore, a touchdown pass to a wide receiver. That touchdown pass was one of three. That's right. Count them, folks. Three.
One, two, three.
Trace. Trey. Trois, three. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? One, two, three. Three catches from wide receivers. What are we doing?
Losing.
Rashee Rice already has like 4 and a touchdown.
Marvin Harrison has 2 touchdowns, and they thought he couldn't play.
Honest, he does, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, 2 touchdowns.
Of course
right
he would.
Out the gates.
Of
Guy
course
only
he
runs
would.
16 miles an hour. He runs like Fitzy speed, and he's still fine in the end zone.
I thought he ran 20-something miles an hour.
Yeah, but last week he ran 16.
I don't know. Buffalo.
I read it on the internet.
Oh, then it must be true. Boy, oh boy. Thing is, like the receiver thing, you got young receivers. They'll eventually learn to get open. Their game will improve. They'll adapt to the pros.
You sure about that?
I think.
Hope.
The quarterback situation. Eventually, Drake May is going to play. He's quicker, has a stronger arm, a better playmaker. This will happen. The offensive line, they're not fixing it.
Well,
it's going
right
to be
now.
Not now, not anytime soon.
What about Caden Wallace? He had to get out there late in the game.
Yeah, but they maybe keep using him as like tackle eligible tight end.
Well, yeah, but then he had to go out there when Lowe was hurt, and then they could call for a penalty, and that didn't go well either. But maybe these reps will be enough to. Because remember, Elliot Wolf, who knows a lot about left tackles and them transitioning from right tackles,
and sitting quarterbacks for a long time.
He said that Caden Wallace could play left tackle.
Nothing's happened that's bad yet.
What? It has now.
Excuse me? Mr. Wolf?
Have you seen Jacoby? Jacoby's leg hurts, his ribs hurt, his hand hurts, his whole damn
his
body hurts.
Jacoby hurts, my God. Poor man. That's why, part of the reason why I asked you earlier how criminal it would be to start Drake May. Yes, I know starting him behind this line on the road against the Jets.
Can't
even
do it.
Even
won't
in San
it.
Francisco, it is now starting to look like Miami. I think
I told you
5,
all along.
Yes,
I'm right.
I recalibrated.
I'm always right.
You stop congratulating yourself.
0 wins in play.
Thank you, Joe.
1-16's in play. I'll tell you that much.
In play. So I set the over under at 6.5. I recalibrated to 4.5. It makes too much sense. It'll be an AFC East division game. Tom Brady will be on the call.
Backup
he'll say nothing interesting. It's a backup quarterback for the Dolphins. Gah. Anyway, all right, a lot to discuss. It's
Let's
time
talk
to turn
to the
it
people.
Over to
Come
you.
On.
How do you guys feel about
you
this?
You people.
We've heard from us. We've got more to offer as well. But now we take it over to you, the good people of Pat's Nation, the Foxborough faithful, who are home in their bars, their fan caves, the lots of Gillette, maybe sitting on Route 1 now. Maybe you made it to 95 or 93. Probably not. Here we go. First on the line, this guy's been waiting since the Red Sox game was actually still on the air. One of our favorites here at WEEI, Sorja out in Mansfield. Welcome to the Six Rings postgame show.
Fitzy Hart, how are we today?
Super.
You know, I was better earlier. Not as good now. Little agitated. Touch disappointed, but I'm happy to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And just really quick side note before I get into the Patriots, Andy Hart, you mentioned it before. The broadcast today was absolutely horrendous. I mean, awful. You know, everyone was getting on Brady last week. I mean, you might as well give these guys the pink slip. I mean, I don't want to call for anybody's job, but, you know, anyways, with the Patriots so far, I thought that, like you said, Fitzy, with so much margin of error, like the margin of error for these guys to win is so low, you can't have what you had in the first half where you punt it back to them and give them an extra 3 points. Mm. And you look at the defense, as bad as, you know, the defense was, and like you mentioned, like Geno Smith was looking like a prime Mahomes, they only scored 3 points in the second half, right?
Yep.
And I think this is going to be a great learning opportunity for the Patriots itself. I wonder what you guys think about not having Bentley in the lineup today. I mean, he was so effective last week. And then, you know, the one last thing I would say is, you know, you hate to criticize Brissett because he's such a nice guy, but I just wonder where the line is so awful, and we know that, he has to get rid of the ball a little bit more quicker, right? I think one of the most, like, a little misleading stats is that he has the low touchdown to interception ratio, right? But the reverse of that is I feel like he sometimes holds on to the ball too long and does give up a lot of sacks. But with that said, obviously the line is not that great. So, you know, I'll end it with this. You know, we're expecting these guys every week to make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. And mm-hmm. I thought the chicken salad came out, it was like a 5 out of 10 today. And I hope that these guys are able to learn. And, you know, we're going to give them the opportunity to learn, but we can't make these same mistakes in the future. But thank you guys for taking the call as always, and enjoy the rest of this sunny day.
We will indeed, from inside a studio in Brighton where there's no sunlight and a bunch of fluorescents, Soldier. But thank you for calling. We appreciate you hanging in there and listening to the Six Rings postgame show. It is a beautiful day today, Andy.
It is. It's a day for winners and the Patriots.
It is. You know, again, like, I wonder if this is a game we're going to point to 4 months from now and say, it's a good thing they didn't win that one because now that we would have missed out on a chance to get one of those two tackles.
We're taking Arch Manning now. What?
Yeah. or is it going to be, nobody thinks this team has a chance to make the postseason. We're not even going to delude ourselves into that.
I think some people were starting to wonder. I think if you go 2-0, you had a winnable game today, and you go 2-0, mm-hmm. Well, then you start saying, do you only need to get to 9 wins? Is there going to be a 9-win playoff team? Do I only need to win 7 of the next 15 games? Can I go 7-8? And even that, I think, was ridiculous. But I think there were probably some people thinking they play defense and they can control the ball, and that'll help them win some games that really don't look winnable on paper. I think there were a few. I don't think it was the majority. No. I think it was a minority of Patriots fans. Mm-hmm. But, you know, stranger things have happened type thoughts may have been starting to filter in. And this is a reality check. This game, I will say, most of us, you, mm-hmm. me, us, everybody, kind of picked this game to play out exactly how it played out. To be two defensive coaches, to be the high teens, right around 20, probably be a field goal game. Mm-hmm. That we said overtime, but I think most people looked at this and it played out the way it did. And I said to you, part of my thinking in picking Seattle was you're due to not get a break. You got, I thought, every break basically in the Bengals game.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say the PI call, either one of those, that's a break you didn't get, right? There was even a thing making the rounds this week in terms of whether the Gesicki play should have even been reviewed last week. But you got breaks last week. You were due to not get breaks. And I think this team, when it doesn't get breaks, when the breaks go against it, then I think this team is really going to struggle to win, because that is, as the caller said, the fine, really, really fine line this team faces.
Yeah, no margin for error with this team. No margin for error whatsoever. In a season where growth, learning, and development are paramount to probably wins and postseason dreams and anything else further down the line beyond just making sure they get better at what they do, it is frustrating to see the Pats have games that they could and should win, because winning as well will help with their confidence, help with their morale. It'll do it. Some say it's the ultimate cure all, the ultimate balm, you know, the ultimate tonic and potion remedy, whatever. It would be great for these guys to find ways to win. Like, teach themselves to win is just as important as figuring out who's talented and who's a keeper and who's going to make a difference going forward. It's really
and not just players.
Yeah.
I would include the coaches in that.
I think for sure.
Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo need to really look at the end of that second quarter and say, how do we do things differently so we don't contribute to a loss? Because that right there, those 3 points, your inability to hold on to the football, forget about driving to your own score or anything, just your inability to hold on to the football, give it back to the Seahawks, and allow them to score. And I didn't even think Seattle was great. Like, I think their execution was questionable, too. You saw two young coaches that I think are still finding their way, defensive coaches that are making offensive game management decisions. I think there's a learning curve for them, too. So I think that without Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo need to look at that, not just the players, and learn to win and learn to not lose in situations.
Yeah, and I'd like to have a conversation on this very postgame show a little bit later today about some of the decisions they made in the fourth quarter as well, some of which were inordinately frustrating. Why they didn't run the ball later on and try to kill the clock and get to overtime, why they were throwing, giving Seattle a chance to possibly even win in overtime, let alone in overtime. All right, more back to the people. John's in the car. He's probably on the way home. What's up, John?
Tiger, they had elephant paws.
John! John!
Zebra backs for rugs. I mean, these people were rich.
Those people were rich. They had tigers and elephants.
Oh, man, side call. What's going on?
I've never had a friend who owned a tiger or an
elephant. Me neither. If you could own one or the other, a tiger or an elephant, which would it be?
Elephant. Tiger would scare me. I want
no
part of
it. What do you do with an elephant? Do you have any idea how much space an elephant takes up?
Yeah, I got a big yard.
Is it elephant?
Is it elephant big?
Elephant safari big?
I don't know how much room
elephant
they need,
range big?
Elephants seem really nice.
They are.
So I want something that, yes, it could kill me, could stampede me.
I was going to say, stampede through your house.
But, yeah, I would roll the dice with it. I mean, my real answer is panda bear. If we're going to say, if I'm really rich and I can get any animal on the planet, people who know me know I think pandas are the coolest thing on the planet, so I'd have a panda bear.
The panda wasn't the question.
Okay, so elephant. I'm right. Jumbo hard. Tufts Jumbos.
Okay,
I would take an elephant.
That's on brand. Very well. Sean is in the car.
Scratch their belly.
Sean, on the radio. Save us from this conversation. How are you? Sean? Sean, elephant or tiger, go.
Okay, get rid of him.
Sean, jeez,
he's
everybody.
Gone. Sean. It's gone.
It's gone.
Get
all
rid
right.
of him.
All the way down to AJ in Dover. What's up, AJ?
How's it going, guys?
It's going.
You know, you guys just stole the point right out of my mouth earlier because I want to know where the heck Pop Douglas was.
He was on the field.
I don't know where the heck Pop Douglas was in this game.
Yeah, he was on the field.
The military is going to come looking for him because he aborted his post.
He abandoned his post.
I mean, how was the guy that was your best separation guy not getting the ball at all? I don't even think he got a target.
Nope.
I don't actually believe so, and thank you for the call, AJ. Man,
do you really thank him for that call?
Not really. Call
didn't
volume.
Sound great. I don't know if he was drunk. There's a lot going on.
He could have been in like a tin room or a bathroom, or maybe he was like a basement.
No targets for DeMario Douglas.
How do you not target a starting receiver? How do you not target one of the shiftiest guys on the team? One of the speedier guys in your conference? How do you not involve somebody that we were told was a focal point? Now, I know Gerard Mayo, and we'll hear from Coach Mayo in just a few minutes here on the Six Rings postgame show. I know he said we got to do a better job driving the ball down the field. I had a feeling there would still be a conservative approach to this game, and Mayo did say this week, I believe the whole point he made, Andy, was, you know, we need to show mental or creative or play-calling agility, not rigidity, and being able to be flexible enough to adapt to whatever is needed at a given time. Like, if they load the box, then you throw.
Mm-hmm.
If they're in a dime package, maybe you run on it. But holy smokes.
But I don't think, when done properly, the slot receiver, when you have the skills that DeMario Douglas has, is, you know, cliche alert, extension of the running game, right? Short passing game. It's not, it doesn't take pass protection. It doesn't take a lot of winning of matchups or anything. It's one guy that you think is quicker than the guy across from him, and you have a quarterback that can throw the ball relatively accurately and quickly and short. It should be a staple part of this offense, in my opinion. No different than Ramondre Stevenson is going to have good days and bad days, but Ramondre Stevenson is a staple part of this offense. There's certain things, just like I think Hunter Henry should be targeted a number of times over the middle, because I think he's shown the ability this year to get open, catch the football, still be a pop. There's certain guys that I don't know how they should go. You're not talented enough. If you were the 49ers or one of these teams that go, oh, we got two wide receivers, we got a tight end, we got two running backs, we got a quarterback who wants to run, we can't give it to everybody. You're not a can't give it to everybody kind of team. You're a, we only got so many, we better get them all involved kind of team.
Yeah.
And so far, through 2 weeks, for whatever reason, DeMario Douglas, not involved.
No, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. He's not like a downfield guy. We're not looking for seam routes,
3 yards,
goes, and post patterns. We're just looking for quick hooks, curls, in cuts, anything, screens, whatever.
Little option routes, all kinds of things you can run under there. Just do it. You're quick. You get open. You can catch the football. Mm-hmm. Cliche alert. We all thought the issue was he might get hit too much and he might get hurt. Good news is he's going to last through the season, because if you never catch the ball, they're not allowed to tackle you.
If they don't throw it to you, then they can't make contact with you.
Right.
What a mess. Yikes.
Maybe that's what it is. This is rope-a-dope. How do you keep him healthy? You don't throw him the football. Mm-hmm. Chess over checkers, bitches.
Wait, whoa, how about that? That drop will live in perpetuity. Maybe Thursday night. They're saving him for Thursday night. You say the rope-a-dope, they're going to save him against the Jets. Boy, the lack of a wide receiver one, or left tackle one.
Or wide receiver two. Or
how do you feel about, Calvin Ridley went for 77 in a touchdown today for the Titans.
Meh. He'd be your wide receiver one. He's not a wide receiver one.
But what kind of difference would it's even like a decent-ish, an okay wide receiver one, what kind of difference would that make? Because Kendrick Bourne, whenever he comes back, he'll be the de facto wide receiver one, but we all know he's a good 2/3. He's a highly productive, featured receiver at times, but a better complementary role player to whenever you have an A.J. Brown, a Deebo, a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase, etc. Even Calvin Ridley or Brandon Ayuk, for that matter. But the Pats have none of that right now. KJ Osborne, sorry, nice guy, just won a community, like the NFL community best buddy superstar nice guy award of the week.
Oh, don't mock it.
I'm not. I don't remember
community
the name
MVP.
Of the specific award. Community MVP, great. He seems like a terrific human. He pulled someone from a car once after an accident, or a car that was burning. People said, this is one of the better humans that'll ever put on a Patriots uniform. I love that.
Hmm.
He's not a wide receiver one.
No. He did have one catch.
So he's technically wide receiver, comma, one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's what he is. Would Ridley be better? Yes. Would it work? I don't know. There's a lot going on with this passing game. I don't know how evolved the passing game is to take advantage of the wide receivers with Alex Van Pelt. I mean, don't forget, Alex Van Pelt, as of Tuesday or whenever the hell he talked, was like, yeah, last week I was missing some stuff on my play sheet. I've learned I got to add some things to my play sheet. That's how much a work in progress this is. The guy who wants to call the plays realized, oh, shoot, I didn't have all the plays I wanted on my play sheet, which means we didn't really practice.
What'd you do all week?
Well, he's learning. He's a work in progress. Oh. It's his first time, too, so it's not going to be perfect. So I don't know how much better they'd be with Calvin Ridley, because I don't think he's a transformational talent. He's not a, oh, my God, we got Calvin Ridley, we're going to kick ass kind of guy. He's a better-than-you-got, run-of-the-mill, number one receiver kind of guy.
Still, like you said, the key phrasing there being better than you got. The calls are loaded once again, 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We'll hear in just a few minutes as well from quarterback Jacoby Brissett, head coach Gerard Mayo with their postgame comments, and of course you throughout the rest of the show. We'll get to Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down list. We will review the rest of a wild week two in the NFL. It's all here for your listening, for your entertaining, your analyzing, your frustrating, and whatever else you need. We got you. It's Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings Postgame Show live here on WEEI.
Chess over checkers, bitches.
All right, to the text line we go here on the Six Rings Post Game Show. Andy, a couple quickies before we get back to the phones and then hear from the coach and the QB. In the 508, Why did we take the ball in overtime? Because you don't want to let Seattle's. Even if Seattle scores, don't the Patriots have a chance to retaliate under new or at least even neutralize things under the new NFL rules?
Well, if they score a touchdown.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think you were trying to drive. I don't know. It's a fair question. I actually haven't heard Mayo yet. I know we'll get to that. I'm sure he was. I would hope he was asked that question. Yeah, I probably would not have. I think I feel better about, even though the defense gave up 300 and whatever it was through the air and couldn't stop Smith and Jigba and Metcalf if they had to.
Yeah, that was. You're not supposed to allow two receivers to get 11 catches apiece.
I mean, I guess there's two ways to look at it. The strength of this team is supposed to be its ground game, right? So Do you believe I'm just going to take the ball and I'm going to drive it down their throat, score a touchdown, win the game? Is that likely? Is that how you're playing? Is that the way this game was? I don't know. It's a fair question. I don't think I probably would have taken the ball there. I think I probably would have given them the ball, but
2-4-0, the offense is pathetic. Shame on Elliot Wolf for not getting anything in the form of a left tackle. Shame. I imagine he probably wants the shame bell from Game of Thrones rung during that time.
Yep, that's by far the biggest
blind spot
issue. But even just like not even trying to. They didn't
shame
get someone.
On you, Fitzy.
They didn't even get someone who plays left tackle. They got people they were trying to turn into left tackles.
Yeah.
Other than Vidarian Lowe. But that is definitely the biggest weakness of this team. At least they, you know, KJ Osborne, they got a receiver.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Yeah. Elliot Wolf has some splaining to do.
He does indeed. Let's see, 508. Nobody can convince me Drake May wins that game. I don't know. I may tend to disagree. Andy in the 413, deaths per year. Tigers kill an average of 100 people, elephants 500.
I feel like those statistics are flawed. They're like ratings in the radio business.
What? Excuse me now? 860, Jacoby has good pocket presence, but he just doesn't push the ball downfield. He doesn't even look at the second-level routes. I wonder if a lot of that has to do with the immense pressure he's feeling as his line, which is nothing stronger than a sandcastle at Nantasket, caves in and collapses around him regularly. This is my favorite one so far. There's many more to get to, and we've got time here, folks.
Okay.
Here's a good one. 860, whatever happened to Marte Mapu?
He's hurt.
Yeah, see, there you go. Okay.
He's on NFI or PUP.
He's
a list.
He's on one of the lists.
Yeah.
Not on IR. I don't believe
so. He could be. I mean, because he never practiced in the summer, so I think, I don't know what list he's on, but he's on a list. He's not on the roster right now. He can't play.
So there were only 5 inactives today, I believe. It was a short inactive list. And Juwan Bentley, what was the cause of Bentley missing today's game? Is that a late injury?
No, he was on the field, and then he got hurt.
Oh, he got hurt early. Okay, I didn't see him.
And then
I didn't
Jelani Tavai, I thought, did a decent job stepping up and kind of becoming the linebacker in the middle of it all. But, yeah, Bentley played, and then he got hurt.
That's what it was. Okay, because I didn't see him as an early scratch. I didn't hear anything about him missing the game. But
so, yeah,
I didn't see
Marte
when
Mapu is indeed on injured reserve. So
he is on injured reserve. Thank you.
After week 4.
He needs to be on there at least 4 weeks, just the same way that Christian Barmore was placed on injured reserve, designated to return.
Well, he's on NFI, and he can return from NFI. That's a difference. That's non-football injury.
A lot of acronyms. Way too many acronyms to handle at this hour of the day.
Yes, there are.
Yep. 781, you have to take the football in overtime because if they score a touchdown, you lose.
No, I know. That's absolutely a possibility. But if they score a touchdown after I can't move the ball, I lose too. Or
nine,
if they score a field goal after I can't move the ball,
that
I
is
lose
correct
too.
978, Andy, Brissett playing not to lose actually causes us to lose. May would have won this game. So already now we've got our new little fissure. We've got our new fracture in Pats Nation.
I've seen that a lot of places. Social media was a buzz with May talk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's fair?
I do, because this is the situation they've created by telling us it was an open competition, by drafting a quarterback third overall. By telling us it was an open competition and then saying actually it was all about the plan overall. So he would have won the competition, but the competition was a moot point because our plan was to stick with the plan and not the winner of the competition.
Correct.
So they've invited this upon themselves.
Correct. But I do think it's fair to wonder. Drake May has a certain skill set. Even though we're watching Jacoby Brissett run a little bit and even make some throws on the run. That's not his game. That's more Drake May's game. And I also think for Jacoby Brissett to run and move and make plays with his feet, you know, as the slowest black quarterback in the NFL, according to his head coach,
according
not
to
me.
His head, yep, said on these very
I'm not saying that.
No,
nope.
He lumbers. By the way, he doesn't run. He lumbers.
Exactly. So when you lumber, for you to run, you have to begin running sooner, correct? Because there's fast guys chasing you. Drake May could have an extra half second, three quarters of a second to keep his eyes downfield and then still run because he's more nimble, quicker, faster. So I think that could play a role in Jacoby Brissett does have to decide sooner rather than later when he's going to run. I think that hinders his ability to see the whole field, to get the ball down the field, to make many plays in the passing game. But the reality is they chose him as the starter, and he's going to be the starter for another couple games unless he gets banged out. I thought there were a couple times today he might be hurt. That leg injury when he got sacked, I thought he broke his leg when I saw it live. And then Fox, because it's the worst broadcast in the history of broadcasts, didn't really talk about it, didn't really show me any replays. Then he was back out there. Then later, he got popped in the ribs and was really grimacing and grabbing, and I wondered, could he get knocked out of the game? So there is a chance we see Drake May sooner rather than later, but I think it would be because of injury and knocking Brissett out. If it's just a pure change, it's still week five for me. That is still the target date.
Let's end our second hour here. Well, it's our first full hour, second hour of the program with one of your favorites.
Uh-oh.
Haven't heard from him in a while. Steve from Fall River. Welcome back to Six Rings.
Hello, guys.
Hello,
Steve. You had a caller who I guess is my brethren. I'm being lumped in now with this last segment of people. Mm-hmm. Said, thank God we have Kobe. What do you say about that? He was happy we had Jacoby Brissett. He was thankful, I thought I heard him. Did I hear that right?
Somebody was
thankful we had this guy. Did he see the line this guy had? His line is awful. He was 15 of whatever, 100-something yards. I mean, he's not going to make game four. You're right about that. I'm surprised he got up. He's going to get hurt. There's no difference if this kid goes in today, tomorrow, November. That's something made up in their head. That's the coach's wet dream or some wish list, so they might feel good about it. You don't have the team ready. He's got to go in and take what's there. I mean, Drew Bledsoe, that 93 season, Drew Bledsoe's looking. They started 1-11. 1-11. I was talking about on another show, and I went back over the games, and we actually had some hope while they were 1-11. You could see things brewing up. Where's your hope with Jacoby Brissett? I mean, come on with this guy. And I heard something utterly ridiculous. Christian Gonzalez was going to solidify himself as a corner, a shutdown corner with DK Metcalf today, which is, first of all, even if he did a good job, it's patently absurd. But, I mean, what was his job? I think Troy Brown said it when they were – Troy Brown said it when he was playing remember he was playing in the secondary back in the bad old days of the 10-year drought? Andy, what do you say? Get the F back. That was their attitude. GTFP. He had to get the F back. Did Troy Brown tell him this? Yeah, get the – yeah, right. I mean, what was that?
That was a communication breakdown.
One other thing.
No, thanks for the call, Steve.
Okay, Steve. All right.
Jesus. How long
See, it's let's just stay – like, if we could just stay on the game at hand. There's enough going on right now.
Yes.
Without having to take a trip down one Patriots Hall of Fame lane or NFL Films where Bill Belichick basically lives all week when he's not on Nantucket filming The Perfect Couple 2.
Speaking of which,
for
the first time in his broadcast career, Bill Belichick entertained me. There's an underdog ad making the rounds.
Yeah, it was good, isn't it?
Funny. Sitting by the pool and he's doing the pool in Nantucket and he's giving advice. Mm-hmm. Kind of made me laugh when he smiles and says, I still
You didn't bet. Like the Subway commercial?
Not really. And I wasn't really I meant his current broadcast career when he's actually a broadcaster now and actually is no longer a coach. I, you know, been thoroughly not entertained by him listing the Patriots offseason transactions and things of that nature and your guy, Matt Patricia, there with him on the podcast. But that was an entertaining commercial. But to get back to Steve's play at hand, the 56-yard touchdown to DK Metcalf.
Balloon coverage, party of one.
It was more a communication breakdown. Kyle Duggar took the blame for it. He kind of checked to something he probably shouldn't have. They expected the pressure to get there sooner. That played a role in it. So Kyle Duggar kind of fell on his sword there in terms of the way they handled that situationally.
Yes.
But guess what? DK Metcalf still had 9 other catches for 70-something yards or something.
Yeah, and he was open when he needed to be open in the third, especially the fourth quarter, and finally overtime. And, yes, I do understand Seattle was held to 3 points in the second half. Some clutch defense. Yep, some big plays later on as well.
Some drops.
But it does, yeah, and also some drops as well. Geno Smith sacked 3 times for 16 yards in the day, 2 of those by Keon White. But did it feel like the rush got home very often? Because when they blitzed later on in the day, I felt like Seattle kind of had an answer almost every time.
Yeah, and another one of those sacks was a bad one, I thought, early on Geno Smith when Duggar came off his right side, and it was clear he was blitzing, and he did blitz.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, as a veteran quarterback, you can't just take the sack there. You got to get the ball to a hot receiver, throw it away, like find a way to avoid that sack. So, no, I don't think the pass defense wasn't good today overall. The rush, the coverage, the concert played between the two was not good enough. And we knew this was going to be a problem. It's coming. Week after week, you're going to face some pretty good passing attacks. Some true number one receivers are coming. The Bengals, whatever the Bengals may be on their football card, they weren't in week one. They didn't play like a number one receiver with a Pro Bowl caliber, MVP caliber quarterback. Today, Geno Smith played pretty well, and they threw the ball. They targeted you. They believed they could throw the ball, and guess what? They did throw the ball because they couldn't run the ball. They ran the ball for 2.4 yards per carry. They had less than 50 yards rushing. They said, we can throw it on you, and guess what? They could, and they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, and I can't believe how much they threw the ball in the Patriots in the second half as well. You would have thought they would have scored 30-something points, not just 23 as well. Belichick would have, 207 texter as we go to break, Belichick would have punted 4th-and-1 in overtime. So did Mayo. So what's really changed here? Well, a bunch of things have changed, but there are some things that remind you of the days of old as well. 617-779-7937. More of you guys, more of us. And we finally get to Jacoby Brissett and Gerard. I almost called him Gerard. See, the Wiggy effect. It's sitting in the studio. It just spills over.
I think Vilma
was
doing it. The Vilma effect.
It's the Vilma effect. That broadcast is terrible. And by the way, I just have to say this now. Dear every broadcaster under the sun, the word is resilience.
Why would Gerard calls that timeout?
Resiliency. Everyone says resiliency. It's resilience.
You're an angry little elf.
I am.
Jeez.
Very frustrating.
There's many more ways to, focus your anger today.
It's resilience. Oh, great. Wow. Now Ladd McConkey highlights are on. That's it. I'm going to break. I need to take a walk. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of the Six Rings Postgame Show here on EEI.